And I started a new job. This is a shirt I get to wear, and it says, "In queso emergency." In queso emergency, pray to Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus.
That's awesome. It wasn't a federal crime to kill the president. Wow.
Not in 63, it wasn't. For JFK. You were right. It was Oswald.
The Gun Dude Show, brought to you by NationFirst.us. Sponsored by The Gun Dude. If you love guns and coffee, this show's for you.
Welcome back to the Gun Dude Radio Show on NationFirst.us, sponsored by the Gun Dude. For those of you just joining us, check us out. Listen to the show on NationFirst.us and on Twitter. Follow NationFirst on @GI_Nation. You can also keep a close eye on everything Gun Dude @_Gun_Dude. And check us out online at thegundude.com. Gun Dude Radio is about coffee, guns, and the startup life. Thanks for tuning back in, guys. I'm Jeremiah, president and the raddest dude alive at the Gun Dude. I'm here with Josh.
I'm Josh. I'm the founder and CEO of the Gun Dude, and I'm definitely not the raddest guy.
No, he's not. Not. We've got Jenna, the beautiful one.
Aww, the looks and the brains.
Yeah, someone's gonna have that. Right? Someone's gonna have the brains and looks. You know.
All you single guys out there, you should stop by the shop and say hi to Jenna.
My first thought every morning before I get out of bed, before I even get out of bed, I'm laying there and I'm, you know, sun's coming through the window and I'm like, you know, how are the dudes, you know, gonna hurt each other today? You know, what are they gonna break? What are they gonna burn down? You know, and that's my initial thought. Like, you know, like, of course, like my daily, you know, thing is to make sure you guys don't burn the shop down.
But, you know. Over so. VP of Admin and Owner, John Liu. And
we're here with Carl Stroud.
Hi there.
He is a resident expert on classics, curios, relics, antique firearms, which is what we're focusing on today. Not antiques, but firearms as a collection.
In great movie lines.
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Groovy.
Groovy.
Groovy. Yeah.
Everything's sweet. Groovy with Carl.
Exactly. Groovy.
So before we left, we were chatting with Carl a little bit about what is normal day in the auction life goes and how those go. We're going to move forward a little bit more on. So once you get the firearm from the auction, you've got it back to the shop or back to your house or wherever it is.
Right.
What's the next step there for you?
Bring them in the house, which is a big pain in the butt. Can I say ass? Big pain in the ass. That's not really cussing.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. As long as I guess it's not aired at 7:30 in the morning when there's kids in the car, we're okay with that.
Right on. No. I bring them in and bring them in. You know, some of them I have to disassemble, but for the most part, I leave them fully assembled. Go over them, not literally with a magnifying glass, but you know, I mean, do a real close inspection of all the markings, etc.
Dude, I've got to wear reading glasses when I look at that stuff now. It's getting bad.
Yeah, we're getting old. And you're
Dude,
even younger than I am.
How many firearms can you fit in your Jeep?
Oh, God. I think the most I put in there is like 40 at one time. It's, you know.
You know when like Sitting crap hits the fan? Like, you got to bring your Jeep to the Gun Dude because we got to modify that. And we got to put, you know, like a chainsaw in the front and a cow pusher. So we definitely can mow down anything that's in the way.
Heck, yeah. Actually, I'm thinking about getting a trailer one of these days, but... But yeah, back to the original question. I go over them, take a bunch of pics, do my research, look through books, look online. I mean, I do a lot of online research, but I like to verify everything in a book simply because, you know.
You can't always believe what you read on the internet anymore.
That's what they tell me,
you
but
still
I'm not.
Have books?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
How do you turn the page? Do you actually have to physically grab it or do you swipe?
I have a cat that does that.
Are there pictures in there?
Cool.
In the cat?
Pictures in the cat, that'd be weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. No those are tattoos.
Yeah. No, actually, there are pictures in the books. Thank
wow,
God.
Wow. Yeah. Pop ups. The pop up antique gun manual.
There exactly.
There we go.
We keep mentioning the antique firearms. So here's an interesting question. Now, since we're on the topic, do you guys think an antique firearm, by definition, could be used in, say, a mass tragedy?
Sure. Of course.
Okay.
Why not?
Absolutely. So
I'm not recommending that to anybody listening.
They're not really that effective. I mean, we're talking bolt action rifles, though. The guy in the San Antonio when he was up in the bell tower, right? He was a Marine.
Yeah.
What was he shooting?
Oh God, I don't remember. It was some kind of Mauser action bolt action rifle.
Yeah.
I feel like a moron. I can't remember his name. The guy who shot Kennedy. Oswald.
He
used an Italian Carcano that he bought, like in a magazine in the 50s for like $5 or something. Mm-hmm. Basically, a bolt action World War II Italian rifle. But things that like normal people would recognize that are antiques, like a broom handled Mauser pistol, C96, shoots a cartridge bullet. The Webleys that I was talking about earlier, virtually. You know, on par with a 45 ACP, so yeah, you could absolutely use one of those old guns to shoot somebody with. So, you know, I mean, I think we're all gun rights people, so, you know, again, it's fortunately or unfortunately, but it is kind of weird to think that, you know, you can ship a cartridge handgun to somebody in New York City or Chicago, and, you know, as long as it's pre-1898, you're okay.
Do you think those should be, you know, regulated at all? I don't know. I mean, the ones still capable of us accepting modern ammunition and being effective?
I don't know how to answer that. I mean, it's kind of like, for me, of course, I don't think they should be regulated. But, I mean, I suppose it is a little bit scary. I mean, I think... You know, we all agree with our Second Amendment rights, but at the same time, most people see the can appreciate, respect the need for regulation of things. So.
Yeah, responsible.
Yeah, exactly.
It's such a hard question, you know, because you recognize that it is it's a right, right? It's a Second Amendment right, or it's a constitutional right, which is recognized as a natural right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so now we're talking about, you know, but we also recognize that they're dangerous and people make bad decisions sometimes with these tools. And so
absolutely.
How do you bring it all together? We're going far afield for sure, you know, going down a rabbit hole, but... Definitely, definitely something to consider.
Just as a side note, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation we could talk for hours and certainly people have. But, I mean, I think the first people to agree with this are gun owners, and that's just that everybody that owns or handles a firearm should be educated, you know, on the responsible use of that gun. So,
for sure. That's what we focus on in the story, you know, all day long, every day. It's having that discussion about responsible firearms ownership.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about. So, hey, Carl, I was wondering, how do you know when you're at the auction, like, what you're going to bid on and stuff? I mean, that's a pretty quick snap judgment. You don't have the time to do a lot of research. So how do you know what you're picking up?
I mean, I do my research before the auction so that I know what I'm going in to look at. And then when I get there, I actually physically inspect them to make sure that they, is that, do we need?
Sorry, that's my alarm to take my antibiotic.
Oh, sweet.
Good, good. Sweet. You're going to get that cleared up one of these days, huh?
Right.
Are they good? Can I have one? I'm just kidding. No. But, I mean, you know, yeah, I go in there and I look the things over and make sure they're what they're advertised to be. And sometimes I find some hidden gems and that's what I go for.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Got to have an idea what it's worth.
Oh, dude, you had that one that was pictured in the Army shooting manual for the firearm.
Oh, yeah.
Number like number 18 or something.
Yeah.
And your buyer was kind enough to tell you after he bought it.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, I made money off of that, but it was M1 carbine made by Inland Division in 1942, I guess. Serial number 18, and when I bought it, I wasn't exactly sure that it was the real thing, but I looked it over, and sure enough, it was the real thing. And after I sold it, the guy was like, "Do you realize that one's been seen by more eyes than any other one in history?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Yeah, it was in the U.S. Army training manual." And
crazy, yeah, right?
Pretty nuts.
And we all handled it before we shipped it off. I mean, that was kind of cool to have that piece of history.
Yeah, touched it.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I know.
Feel the power.
Yeah. The only thing that would have been better is something like one of Elvis's guns or something. Maybe.
Elvis had guns?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He had a Walther PPK engraved TCB on the slide.
What's
on
that
the
mean?
Slide. I'm so disappointed. Taking care of business, baby.
Oh my lord!
Right on.
Yeah, that's not gonna bode well in a self-defense shooting court case.
No. He shot his TV out with that gun.
He did?
Oh, yeah. Right in the basement of Graceland. amazing.
Carl, see, that's the kind of cool stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think some major differences between owning for you know, a firearm or you know, not necessarily an antique, but you know, for sporting purposes or protection and or collecting?
I mean, a lot of people I
see that are interested more in your Enfields and stuff, and it's like most of them actually go out and shoot them. But I mean,
well, the thing, I mean, you know, you can if you get one good rifle, if you want an AR-15, you get one good one, you can modify it, you can trick it out, if you will, to your own taste. And in theory, that's the only AR-15 you would basically need, because you can modify it. But, you know, if you're into collecting, you know, there are multiple variants of the exact same gun, and hardcore collectors want to have every single variant.
Yeah, they do those reenactments and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know too many people who do that, so I can't get into speaking about that. But yeah, I mean, collectors are funny. They want, you know, the one that the fifth variant of the second model of this gun or that gun, you know.
With the box, I found people really get into the boxes, like the art, because what it was like the 60s or 70s, they used to put artwork on the boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
I think the 60s and 70s, everything was artwork, wasn't it?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Bad artwork.
Carl was there.
I was there for a brief time in the 70s. Yeah.
From what did you remember?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a crazy time, the 70s.
Back when I was two.
I want to tell you my secret now.
I think I scrolled across something on the internet. There was someone that was actually, like, hunting with, I don't know exactly which one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, a lot of the old military guns make great hunting rifles. I mean, the one thing I will say that few people will argue with, the most reliable guns are lever action and bolt action.
Absolutely.
I love me a lever gun.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, it's not the most ideal for home protection and that sort of thing.
Oh, no, but it is the most delightful deer firearm. I love my... There was a Winchester Model 94 in 30-30.
Right.
And they had one... What was that? The
Canadian Centennial.
Oh, yeah. Grandpa had one. It was the Canadian Centennial.
Did he have one? Oh awesome.
Yeah.
I had my first deer with that.
Was the first 94 that I bought. You might not remember, but go ahead.
Big octagonal barrel on it, right? Yeah. And then the maple leaves, the gold maple leaves. I waited a time, but God, it was such a sweet shooting gun.
Like the rite of passage before you could hunt. You had to carry that in the woods for 3 years.
Oh, yeah. I think I took two or three deer with it. And the way they just slap to your shoulder, there's something about a lever gun, the way they do the buttstock on them, it just rides to your shoulder. It glides. I mean, it's glass.
It's got that curve to it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But no, they make outstanding hunting rifles. And like I said, I mean, they're just reliable in almost any kind of weather condition. So for hunting guns, they're great. And as I said, things like a Webley actually make a pretty effective self-defense weapon. But for the most part, I wouldn't recommend carrying, you know, an antique. Like I find people, I forget what it was. I wish I could remember, but I had just, it was a French Mac 1935S. And the guy who was looking at it was like, yeah, I'm thinking about carrying that. And I'm like, yeah, if you want to spend $5 for every bullet.
Bogus.
So if people are out like garage sailing, right? My parents used to garage sale all the time.
Right.
And I actually love garage sailing. It's kind of a fun thing to do, like in a new city you've never been in, you know, just like a small town to pull the local ads, go garage sale. So if they're out and about and they come across firearms, old antique firearms, I mean, what is it that the individual should be looking for to say that this is worth spending a couple of bucks on and it might actually get you something out of it? I mean, how do you find the diamond in the rough?
I mean, I suggest to people, if you want to get into collecting or, you know, picking, if you will, the old antique firearms, get a focus, do your homework, and look for those guns. I mean, if you go out blindly, because I've done this myself, and I think anybody who's bought old guns before didn't know what they were buying probably has, but if you go out just blindly buy a gun, unless it's real, real cheap, you know, you may be getting ripped off. And it may not even be intentional, so.
Yeah. You know, we're getting ready to roll out the forums on the Gun Dude.
Yeah.
And I think this would be actually a fun forum to have, is the antique and collectibles, where, you know, Carl is like the guy you could talk to on the forum. I think it'd be kind of cool.
Absolutely.
All right, well, I'm out of coffee, guys.
Me too. So we are going to take a break. It's time for us to pay some of the people that pay us to talk about anything. All right, so this is the Gun Dude Show on nationfirst.us, sponsored by the Gun Dude, and we will be right back.
Be well.
Bye.
Ciao.
years, the battle cry of the VFW has always been the same. America needs to do more for veterans. From combat to Capitol Hill, the VFW marches on with healthcare, jobs, benefits, and justice. VFW.org is the first stop you should make on your way home. The VFW. No one does more for veterans.
This is Jason Delgado.
And Anita Wade.
Introducing you to Reality Radio on Generation America.
We aren't controlled, manipulated, or shackled by any government or big corporation.
But hopefully, soon we will be.
We support our troops and all of our armed forces around the 165 locations around the world.
Go to nationfirst.us and listen to us live on Wednesdays at 11 a.m.
Subscribe to our podcast at
nationfirst.us. Generation America. Be there.
As our nation's military fights to protect and serve values we hold dear, the American Public Human Services Association is working to encourage equality, integrity, and teamwork to drive innovative and integrated solutions in Washington within the field of health and human services. Whether it's working to produce stronger outcomes and temporary assistance for needy families and more, at APHSA, we believe in healthier lives for children and families. As a voice of state and local health and human service agencies, visit us online at www.aphsa.org.
Hi, this is Blake Alfin, co-founder of Nation First Radio. I want to thank everybody for your support in this venture of ours. We're producing positive content that we hope will improve the world around us, not just scream, you're red, you're blue at each other. At this point, we're not asking you for money or donations or anything like that. Just subscribe to the podcasts, listen to the shows when they're live, sign up for the mailing list and text alerts. We're still developing the network and the shows, and your support has been overwhelming. You can find info about the show you're listening to now and all the others at nationfirst.us. That's nationfirst.us, and seriously, thank you so much.
The Gun Dude Show, brought to you by NationFirst.us, sponsored by The Gun Dude. If you love guns and coffee, this show's for you.
What was your last auction, Carl?
Let's see. I was in Pennsylvania yesterday, Illinois last week, and might be going to Maine this weekend. I'm not exactly sure.
It's a little cold up there, isn't it?
Hopefully not this year, but we'll see.
All right, so we're talking about auctions, and for those of you who don't know, Carl, can you tell us a little bit about how these auctions go? Like, what do they feel like when you walk in? Like, how is it set up?
Well, I'm a little bit out of place. Fortunately, I grew up in redneck land, and most of my best friends growing up were rednecks. But you know, I walk in, and it's basically redneck land, bunch of good old boys having a good time. The best is the Amish auctions, though. That's like being in another world.
They've got such good food.
I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Maybe I'm thinking different Amish.
Well, if you like hot dogs, that's standard auction fare.
Oh, jeez. So I remember those going to the livestock auctions as a child. That was basically what you had was garbage fries and hot dogs.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
So is it set up like a silent thing? You mentioned a few times, I've heard you say that, you know, I've got an eye on this at an auction. Do you get a flyer that shows you what they're going to have at this auction before you show up to it?
Yeah, absolutely. Flyers are online. Some places are better organized than others, you know. A lot of places you go in and you really don't know what you're looking at, and it's just a bunch of guns, and the auctioneer has no idea what he's selling, and there you go. You got to go in and figure it out.
So they actually, is it like a silent auction where it's a box and you put a bid in the box, or do they actually parade it up on a stage?
Yeah, no, they parade it up on a stage, if you will. Go in front of the crowd, you know.
I definitely want to go to one of these before.
So yeah, they're a lot of fun.
What are some of the things you look for when you go to these auctions?
I mean, my main focus is military surplus stuff, but, you know, I'm branching into other things, shotguns and that sort of thing, but the big thing for me, anyways, is the foreign items. I mean, you know, some of my favorite guns are, you know, the M1 Garands and the 1911 Colts, et cetera. But those are one of those things that everybody has. So I kind of focus on the bizarre things, the weird things that you don't see in your local gun shop or gun show.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, awesome. And it's kind of interesting, too. You just ventured into the antique firearms. I mean, you've always been part of the antique firearm. Go ahead and explain what an antique firearm is by definition.
Antique firearm is anything made pre-1898.
Okay. That means they're not considered by definition, a firearm.
Right, exactly.
Okay, and they don't require a background check, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And that's either very cool or very uncool, depending on your perspective, I suppose.
But yeah, right? So the interesting thing that Carl has taught me in this industry is that each gun, especially the classics, tells a story. And it's to me, it's all about the different, they're called proof marks on the gun, and they're stamps. And each stamp tells a different part of a story on that firearm, am I correct?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, you can tell a lot of guns' history by the markings that are on it.
Okay. Basically, you know, what country it came from, what country it traveled to, even what war it was a part of. Something that I understand is that, especially after the First World War, they would take, say, three guns of the same make, and they didn't work, and they would build one gun out of that. Am I correct?
Correct, yeah, okay. Exactly.
And each one of those proof marks is from a different gun, but it still functions the same way. And the value of these firearms goes up should all those proof marks and numbers match, meaning it made it through two world wars without being changed.
We just actually got
exactly.
We just got an Arisaka in yesterday. You remember that Arisaka came in yesterday? The rifle, the guy found it in the chimney of the house he was renting. He wanted to have a fire, and the landlord was like, "Oh, just clean out the chimney." So he was chimney sweeping, and it was literally shoved up inside the chimney. So he brought it in for evaluation. Actually, we got to show it to you later. But
nice.
It's still got. They tried to grind off the marigold, the Emperor's marigold, but it's still halfway on. It's got the Japanese proof markings on it and everything. It's actually kind of, it's beat up, but it's cool.
That's awesome. That. It's like a smoked Japanese rifle.
So yeah, dried. It does. Hickory flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds exactly.
Yummy.
Sure.
Sounds yummy.
Exactly. Carl, yeah.
Dude, what are some of the, like, the different revolvers or handguns or, you know, what do you find? Like, what are some unique things that you found?
I mean, the big ones, again, European stuff mainly because, you know, in America, we had a preponderance of handguns, and they're floating all over the place. I mean, even a lot of things you can find at flea markets, antique shops. But the European ones tend to be a little harder to come by. A lot of them are a lot more interesting, in my opinion, as well. So,
What was that one revolver you used to ship? When I met Carl the first time, he was actually doing transfers through my business when we were back in the residence. And you used to transfer those revolvers all the time.
The Webleys?
Webleys.
Yeah. British.
Tell me about those a little bit.
They, I mean, it's hard to know when to stop because I could talk for an hour about them, but I can talk for an hour about almost anything.
Don't worry, we'll play you off the stage.
Okay, thank God.
Just do what I tell you.
No, Webleys, it was a British revolver that came out, I want to say 1887, first really effective tactical combat handgun, and in fact, that sort of developed the tactical combat handgun system for close quarter fighting. Chambered in 455, which is just a touch bigger than the 45 caliber. And a lot of them, when they were brought in, imported in the 50s, they altered them to accept 45 ACP, which is the same round that a Colt 1911 shoots. As a consequence, the original ones in 455 are pretty scarce and tend to command a lot more money.
Yeah, so yeah. And you can usually tell they were cut how. You were telling me this once. I don't remember.
They would just take the back of the cylinder, the part of the cylinder that faces the shooter, and basically grind that down or shave it to shorten it a little bit to accommodate the 45 ACP.
So if you have a Webley, how do you know that it's been cut down?
If you look at the cylinder face, the part where they would shave it down, there should be proof marks on it, little stampings, numbers, that sort of thing. And if it doesn't have those, it's pretty much been shaved. Also, the cylinder itself will have a serial number on it, and on the shaved ones, the bottom of the numbers are not visible. Key.
Nifty.
And let that be a lesson to on almost any gun. I mean, if you have a classic gun, don't alter it, especially now. 20, 30, 50 years ago, it sort of made sense, but, you know, they're becoming rare. They're not importing anymore, and they're not making anymore.
It's kind of like furniture. About 10 years ago, the big thing was to refinish the furniture and make it look brand new again. Well, firearms are much the same thing as you don't do that. People want to see that wear. They want to see the story that it tells. It actually makes it a living piece of history at that point.
Exactly.
Gives it more character.
It does.
A possible exception would be like a really high dollar restoration, but I mean, you're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars. If you have an old, you know, cruddy gun that you want to restore, make sure you get somebody who knows what they're doing to restore it, and then you're probably going to pay more than the gun's worth.
You can bring it to me. I've got a Dremel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
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 Awesome.
Totally.
Some wood glue.
Yeah.
Jenna's over there shaking her head. She's like, oh, my God. Hey, Jenna doesn't come back in the back workshop very often except to you know, make sure that we're not burning the place down. And I think it's probably better for her sanity.
Oh, the other day I cleaned it all up. 20 minutes later, like a tornado went through there. It's like having kids.
Sometimes she goes back there when I get her on the phone and she has to ask you guys a question because I can't get in touch with you because you're busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's probably ignoring.
Yeah. No, that could happen.
Screening phone calls.
It's everybody. They don't even call you dudes anymore. Everybody just calls me.
I know.
Of course.
Gunsmith, it's working, Dr. Josh. Dr. Gorka, Carl, everybody. Because they know they aren't going to answer. Oh, Jen will answer.
I think it's working, Josh.
It's working. Yeah. Yes. We're reaching the pinnacle of the dream here.
Mm-hmm. You guys should make it a goal to mention Dr. Gorka in every show.
Ooh, that could be fun.
Just because he's a shop favorite.
He's cool.
Definitely. I want to figure out a way to mimic his voice.
You're talking about cool guns. So I went shooting with Doc the other day at the range. We're working on the Your Method thing,
cool.
Right? And so Joe and I take Dr. Gorka to the range. That man can shoot. That man can shoot. And I've seen some shooters. That man can shoot. I mean, he can work a Glock like it's a fully automatic firearm. And I was so impressed. And accurately.
Nice.
Wow,
so,
thank God.
I think for a man of his, you know, ways, like that's definitely a good thing. And I didn't see him, you know, not being able to, essentially.
That's true. I suspected it, but to see it in action was a totally different thing. I mean, it's like taking Jenna to the range, putting that 1911 in her hand and having her go to town on that target. I mean, you were Deadeye McGee there.
I don't know. Yeah. You guys probably, women inherently are better marksmen than men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are. No,
yeah.
That's true. I mean, you know.
It's a fact. Well, what I find a lot of times, like first-time shooters, guys, we feel this like humongous responsibility to be an expert with a firearm right out the gate. And I think girls are just like, yeah, I'm just going to do it. And they pull the trigger and like, the rounds go where they're supposed to because they're not really like trying to force it. They just naturally go with it. And
yeah, men, especially if there's a lot of, you know, other men around, a lot of them, you know, competition sets in, and your mind's kind of like, oh, I got to win. I got all rounds on target.
You're a very bad man.
So, but yeah, I mean, a lot of it just comes natural. I've noticed for a lot of females, like, I mean, even some of our instructors have told us that a lot of the first time females, they're usually dead on.
What are you
they're
telling
so
again?
Impressed, and they're like, wow. I can't believe she's like, you know, dead on.
No, it's women nuts. Are better marksmen, and they're also better at carrying children to term, I've found.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
Groovy. So we were talking about Dr. Gorka. It's actually become a running joke in the shop between Carl and Dr. G about, you know, when a firearm comes in, like, oh, it's either a Gorka gun or a Carl gun.
You don't. Yeah, I don't even look at the paperwork stuff anymore. I already know. Like, yep, this is Carl's.
This
yep,
thing's
it's
weird.
A Gorka gun.
It just looks funny. It looks like it belongs on a spaceship. So this has got to be for Dr. Gorka. And this one over here looks like it's been
straight out of the Chinese dynasty.
Yeah, this is definitely Carl's gun. And it's kind of funny too because Carl's the expert. We talk about Pawn Stars a lot. How the guys, you walk into the pawn shop and the guy's been kind of like, oh, this is really cool. I don't know a whole lot about it. Let me call an expert. And Carl's the expert we call. And he comes down and he's like, oh, yeah, that gun right there, that came from, that was definitely from Istanbul. It was there on August 7th, 1972. Like, how can you tell? Oh, because it's got this little scratch on the side of it.
It smells like coffee.
Well, it's all about it. I mean, I grew up shooting, and I love guns, but for me, it's more of a history thing, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And
yeah, for
sure. He's actually, Carl's actually inspired me to be a little more of a collector and interested in the history of firearms.
Well, that, and I just can't keep stuff in my head at all. So Carl's like, you know, this proof marking means this. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I see the proof marking tomorrow. I'm like, hey, Carl, what's this mean? Yeah.
Exactly. Right. So.
What's been cool is we've actually, when we've been getting these older items in the shop, there's that 1911, right?
Uh-huh.
And that we talked about one of the previous episodes. The whole community, everybody that was in the store came together and started like, oh, this proof mark and that proof mark. We got Matt Roaring out there who's, you know, looking at the proof marks, and he's a bit of a firearms historian himself, just out of, you know, just out of interest. It's not even his, it's his passion. It's his pastime. Much like yourself, Carl, because I know you got into it. You got into it just because you were interested. You didn't even intend to start a business. It wasn't until you and I were talking one day, and I was like, dude, you gotta come on RFFL because you're just transferring too much.
Well, I mean, guns are like gold nowadays, really. Like I said, and I mean, I would guess the same thing applies to anything that they don't make anymore that's collectible, you know. But if you've got a classic gun, don't mess with it. Don't try to alter it, you know.
Yeah.
Correct.
And Carl came from the same kind of background I did in food service. You know,
oh, yeah.
Waiting tables 7 nights a week until midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and getting back up at 10 o'clock the next morning and doing it again. So his business has actually allowed him to step away from that kind of high-stress environment.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Correct in saying that you're actually doing something you're passionate about.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I mean, like I tell my female friends, imagine if you could make a living buying shoes all day, if that's all you did was buy shoes. Absolutely. And then most of them get that, you know what I mean?
So there's two problems with that statement. One, you have friends, and two, they're female.
Exactly.
Friends.
I know, it's very, very weird. But
I get it now. I understand.
You know, and I, nothing to get into or go off on a tangent, but that, for that matter, it's tough with the social life doing this. That's the one thing I noticed. Working in a restaurant is like the most social job you can imagine. And in fact, it kind of turns you into a weirdo, as Jeremiah can probably tell you.
Yeah.
Now I like get in the car and thank God for my dog, or I'd have nobody to talk to half the time.
Oh, dude, isn't?
I've noticed that.
Yeah.
Even when I came down here and got into this, I mean, it used to be, you know, I had a group of friends with probably 10, 15 people that you could walk into any bar any time and you would meet somebody.
Yeah.
Here, it's all we have is each other.
Yeah.
Well, I know Jenna's been feeling that pressure, too, at the startup. You know, she, like she said, she works 6-7 days a week. You know, we're pulling between 12 and 16-hour days. And, you know, she's 22, where a lot of your age group, right, would normally be out having a social life. Mm-hmm. Your social life is the startup.
That it is. That it is. But, you know, hard work pays off. Eventually, you know, I'll get to ride in my private jet, sipping martinis, going wherever I want.
Nice. You're 22? You told me you were 16.
Oh.
You can forget about that date tonight. You're a little too old for me.
Oh, my God. Oh,
right, guys.
Okay,
well,
on that note.
That, we are going to take a break and kind of pay some of the guys that pay us to talk about anything we really want to.
Coffee.
Stay tuned. It's the Gun Dude Show on nationfirst.us, sponsored by the Gun Dude, and we will be right back.
Ciao.
Of the VFW has always been the same. America needs to do more for veterans. From combat to Capitol Hill, the VFW marches on with healthcare, jobs, benefits, and justice. VFW.org is the first stop you should make on your way home. The VFW. No one does more for veterans.
This is Jason Delgado.
And Donita Wade.
Introducing you to Reality Radio on Generation America.
We aren't controlled, manipulated, or shackled by any government or big corporation.
But hopefully, soon we will be.
We support our troops and all of our armed forces around the 165 locations around the world.
Go to nationfirst.us and listen to us live on Wednesdays at 11 a.m.
Subscribe to our podcast at
nationfirst.us. Generation America. Be there.
As our nation's military fights to protect and serve values we hold dear, the American Public Human Services Association is working to encourage equality, integrity, and teamwork to drive innovative and integrated solutions in Washington within the field of health and human services. Whether it's working to produce stronger outcomes and temporary assistance for needy families and more, at APHSA, we believe in healthier lives for children and families. As a voice of state and local health and human service agencies, visit us online at www.aphsa.org.
Hi, this is Blake Alvin, co-founder of Nation First Radio. I want to thank everybody for your support in this venture of ours. We're producing positive content that we hope will improve the world around us, not just scream, you're red, you're blue at each other. At this point, we're not asking you for money or donations or anything like that. Just subscribe to the podcasts, listen to the shows when they're live, sign up for the mailing list and text alerts. We're still developing the network and the shows, and your support has been overwhelming. You can find info about the show you're listening to now and all the others at nationfirst.us. That's nationfirst.us. And seriously, thank you so much.
today, say the best weapon is one you never have to fire. I respectfully disagree. I prefer the weapon you only have to fire once. That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it. And it's worked out pretty well so far.
Welcome back to the Gun Dude Radio Show on NationFirst.us, sponsored by the Gun Dude. Check us out, listen to the show on NationFirst.us and on Twitter. Follow NationFirst on @GI_Nation. You can also keep a close eye on everything Gun Dude at @_gun_dude and online at thegundude.com. This is a show about guns, coffee, and the startup life. I'm Jeremiah. I'm the president of the Gun Dude, which doesn't mean anything other than a title. I'm here with Joshua.
I'm Josh. I'm the founder and CEO, and president means that you can ship all the shipping stuff without
oversight. I'm the lead shipper. I'm also here with Jenna.
Afternoon. Probably not afternoon. I don't know, but I'm Jenna. You know, vice president of the Gun Dude. Daily, you know,
everything.
Firewoman. Daily, make sure that, yeah, everything literally. You guys don't burn the building down.
I would say workhorse, but I don't want to get slapped.
And there's Carl, Mr. Carl Stroud. For those of you just joining us, Carl is our classics, curios, and Rolex expert, really. I like to call him the curator.
Cool. I curate.
And another thing about Carl is that he is a fellow entrepreneur. So you now have four entrepreneurs in the room, and we like to make the last bit of the show about the startup life. And so we've talked a lot about the Gun Dude and how we've come to be what we are, you know, the brick and mortar. But Carl's business model is significantly different than ours, and it comes with its own unique challenges. You want to talk a little bit about that, Carl?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I got into it almost accidentally. I discovered a gun that I bought and wanted to see what it was worth, so I put it online on an online auction website and put the reserve so high that it would never sell because I wasn't interested in selling it, and lo and behold, my $400 purchase suddenly became worth over $1,800.
Wow.
That's how I got into it. But for me, I mean, you know, I basically hit the road and do my own thing, and I'm my own boss, and, you know, it's gotten to the point where I'm making good money, and it's ended up being more work than I've ever done before in my whole freaking life, but it's also a lot more rewarding, and I can't, at this point, imagine going back to doing the old stuff, you know?
Yeah, no doubt.
Back to the restaurants.
Yes, exactly.
You know, that's funny that you mentioned it's more work than you ever thought it would be, more work you've ever done in your life, and I think, Jenna, you were lamenting about the same thing, being a co-owner and an entrepreneur yourself.
Yeah, especially, you know, for my age, I have conversations with people, and I tell them, you know, what do you do, and, you know, well, now I'm part owner of a startup business, and, you know, it's entrepreneur life, and honestly, I didn't even know, you know, what entrepreneurs were or do, and such a wide definition for entrepreneur, depending on what you decide to get into, but it's definitely, you know, it is hard work, but, I mean, I enjoy working hard and feeling like I make a difference, definitely, and it is rewarding, and, you know, I'm you know, work hard now and hopefully play harder later. So it'll definitely pay off.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the interesting things about Carl's business model is that it doesn't require the brick and mortar for him. We're kind of his brick and mortar, right. Repository where, you know, we handle the licensing and the shipping and you know, the inventory and all that stuff. But Carl's pretty free to move, and you do. You travel all over the U.S. looking at different auctions. And I think it's really cool how you tend to associate your social trips with your trips for work as well.
Kind of jealous.
If I didn't, I would have, like I said, basically no social life. You guys are my only friends.
That's okay, Carl. You guys are my only friends, too.
Oh, we're about ready to hug it out here.
Yeah, it's sweet.
It is really sweet.
Kumbaya.
And I mean, even Jeremiah, you know, the endless work hours, even on your days off, I'm still on the phone because I don't really take days off. I mean, every once in a while I'll crash and just not answer my phone. But, you know, between there's the Gun Dude and then I'm working on Your Method right now, which is a whole new startup. And, you know, I'm a little bit familiar with like an online startup because that's what the Gun Dude was originated as. But, you know, that's just a whole new thing. We're doing crowdfunding with that. And I never anticipated all these challenges associated with it. But, you know, you guys, I'm always on the phone. You know, I could be doing books at midnight, and I'm calling Jeremiah asking him, you know, where's this check? And
what did you spend money on, Jeremiah?
Could you tell me what this $2,000 order is for? Oh, it was a popcorn machine. It was good.
A what? First time in. Hey, Jenna. You know, Jeremiah, like, hey, Jenna, you think it'd be all right to do this? So let's get one of these. And it's like, well, if you're asking, let's back up to, first of all, if you're asking about it, it's probably not a good idea.
It's also, I don't know if you've experienced this, but like I was in Seattle on Christmas. I looked at my bank account and I had, I want to say like $63 on Christmas Day in my bank account. I was so like, oh no, I can't do anything. I can't go out to dinner tonight. But then on the 26th, the very next day, I had like $27,000 in my bank account because all those credit cards had cleared. So
yeah.
I don't know if you've been through that, but you know. It's,
three weeks ago, we had $40,000 in the account, and then I paid all the bills, and we had like $1,000.
Right.
It's an illusion.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In and out, I'm telling you. Cost of business.
You've got to be prepared, you know, to, you know. Not saying, yeah, exactly. Sacrifices. There's a lot of sacrifices that you gotta make for startup.
Definitely. So, Carl, where do you see your business going?
I mean, really, at this point, I'd love to expand, you know, and I'm glad that I'm working with you guys because that gives me little outlets for doing other things, helping you guys out and whatnot. But, I mean, really, I'd like to just keep it on track as I'm doing right now, you know. I mean, one thing, at least, with me, I started out, I didn't have a heck of a lot of money, so I was buying a bunch of little inexpensive guns to sell. And, you know, the beautiful thing, at least from my perspective about what I do, is that I'm able to grow my business without increasing my volume. You know, I've stepped it up to the more expensive, rarer things.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of loyal customers who are repeat buyers, and sort of to keep them happy, I still do, you know, some of the less expensive, cheaper, if you will, guns. You know, I just try to keep it bizarre and interesting. Not going into it, but like the Mossberg Brownie, if you're familiar with that, really collectible, really unusual little handgun that doesn't cost too much money. So little things like that, you know, I mean, you've got to keep the loyal customers happy. I can't make everything a, you know, $2,000 piece that I'm trying to sell.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I'd like to just keep going the way I'm going and focus on bigger, better, more expensive things. You know, I mean, ultimately, my goal would be to have the money where it's profitable for me to fly to England or Australia for auctions, that sort of thing. You know, maybe Japan to buy some classic, you know, 16th century Japanese weapons, that sort of thing.
And that's where that our imports license, we really hope to leverage that as we move forward and get the manpower available to help us really figure out that process. Because, you know,
we just need a plane with a false underbelly. That's all.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I think that was in the Expendables, right?
It is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, the big duck looking plane with the Or Millennium Falcon.
Millennium Falcon, that was
awesome. That
would
be awesome.
Yeah, we could do a Millennium. Jenna, can we get a Millennium Falcon, please?
Make sure it comes standard with the Han Solo and Chewbacca.
Put it on the list.
Ooh, we got a Chewbacca mask in the store.
Is this going to generate any money at all?
Oh, well, see, and that drives right into the next question. How do you fund your startup, right? Like, mine was bootstrapped. Carl, how did you fund yours?
God, I just finding the cheap stuff and selling it for a profit, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we were talking, I did get a unconventional, if you will, loan. I believe it was BizRite. I did my homework, and they seemed legit on the level. They were really nice, and it was a huge help, but that was only $8,000. I mean, in the grand scheme of things.
It's nothing.
Not really.
Remember when I got that first $10,000 loan way back when we first started?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like so excited. I was so excited. Like, oh, we got $10,000.
Exactly.
This is going to be awesome. We're going to take care of all of our problems. We're going to have money for growth and capital. And a day later, I was like, oh, well, I got about $100 left of that now. And that was just from leveling the startup debts, you know, and consolidating them. So, I mean, heck, people pull their money from all sorts of different places. Jeremiah, Sarah has helped us in the company.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, the three of us, we donate our time. I mean, Jenna, you know, all but lives at the shop. And with your mom even gave you a little bit. Your parents even lent you a little bit at the beginning so you could go to an auction, I remember.
Oh, yeah. No, they've been really supportive. I mean, I think as long as you have a good idea of what you're doing and make sure you're able to pay it back, getting money from almost anywhere legally is a good idea.
Family, friends, and strangers is what it usually boils down to for most startups. First, you bum money off your family. After your personal assets are gone, you bum money off your family. Exactly. Then you bum money off your friends.
Panhandle.
Then, yep. Yeah, and then strangers. And that's panhandling. That's correct.
Pretty much.
I think what's pretty cool, since, we're talking about the growth, the startup, and all that fun jazz, is the people that we've seen join throughout, even within the last year, as the journey, as every day. But the people that, do keep coming back just because they love us. It's almost crazy. People are jealous of what we're doing. They're like, I want to do what you do. I want to work for you guys. I want to be part of this. And it's crazy to think that, even though, I'm jumping, tying my wagon onto to everybody else's wagon a little farther into it, because obviously Josh started a couple years prior. but it is pretty cool to see that people are really interested in, want to be it. And you see the same people coming in every other day, and especially spaghetti dinners and,
sitting in the shop. Yeah. I mean, Mark comes in and sits there regularly, mm-hmm. all day long. And I'm finally taking minimum wage pay. That's kind of cool. I mean, that's cool,
nice,
to see this thing.
Congrats.
I know, right? It's been years. I left six figures to start this, and it's been years since I pulled a paycheck. So
Josh is buying lunch off the dollar menu at McDonald's for everybody.
Maybe. Is there a 50-cent menu? I'd prefer the 50-cent menu.
You can pick up bananas for like 50 cents at the convenience store.
We could definitely get a sandwich and split it off the dollar menu.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's let's do a 49-cent cheese. Do they still do 49-cent cheeseburger night?
No.
That's how I ate in paramedic school, was 49-cent cheeseburger night.
Do you know I worked at McDonald's in high school?
Really? No. Yep. Oh, you did. I remember that.
I did ramen noodles. You can go to Walmart and pick up the single pack of ramen noodles for 22 cents.
Spam.
Oh, I just got introduced to spam.
My new
girlfriend, she's Hawaiian, and apparently is like a staple there.
Heck yeah.
So I'm learning that you can do a lot with spam that I thought it was just, the canned treat, but turns out it's not. It can be a meat substitute.
Does she make a mean macaroni salad? That's also pretty Hawaiian.
Well, it's a little cold for macaroni salad, so I'm expecting to experience that summertime, I suppose.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, we'll have to explore that a little bit more and see. Yeah, spam's a thing, I guess.
Stuff posing as meat.
No, I think just like with respect to the gum business, though, you're talking about Jenna was mentioning the customers, and I think honesty and high customer service are key, especially when it comes to the gum business. It's such a
integrity.
Well, I mean, they're a bunch of, can I say a-holes? They're a bunch of jerks in the gun business. I mean, it's pretty intimidating for a lot of your average person who's not already in that culture wants to get a gun, and I think we've all agreed that the Second Amendment's for everybody. So,
yeah, for sure. You know. That's definitely truth.
I wanted to do a little bit of what Carl does, go to different auctions as the gun dude and see if I can't do it, but it is intimidating to myself as well. I wouldn't probably not go to one if I wasn't going with Carl the first time.
Yeah, no doubt. How about you, Jenna? I mean, how do you feel walking into a firearm store and stuff?
I kind of feel intimidated because most people are looking at me like they're waiting for the guy or the dude to be walking behind me, because usually females don't usually walk into a gun store. I mean, you're usually there, with your significant other or boyfriend or whatever. So you usually don't see females walk into, and so they kind of give you kind of get a raised eyebrow when you walk in the door. But I mean, I like the fact that for the gun dude, the store we're open to all walks of life and whether it be the LGBTQ community, especially females. Like, I want females to feel that they can come into the shop and.
Sure.
And feel like they can engage in, firearms and questions and, and not feel like, oh, you're a girl, what are you doing in here type deal. So I really think that, especially myself, and, you know, we have Lucy now, too, and she helps out with that, and making it more a comfortable, relaxed environment.
And it's Elena? Not,
especially, oh, yeah, Elena.
Oh, wait, how do I pronounce it again?
Elena.
Elena.
It's like Atlanta without the T.
I cannot do this. I've started saying hello. I'm like, hey, dude. I used to say the name, and she's like, my name's not. I'm like, oh, I'm trying so hard here.
Yeah.
Well, no, at the same time, you also have plenty of the conventional, stereotypical gun owners going.
Yeah. It is a male-dominant industry, though. So
for sure.
It comes easier for males to, you know, connect with other, you know, dudes on dudes with firearms and, you know, hey, man, cool, what'd you get, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas females, well, I mean, I'm seeing the number increase, definitely, especially with since I started, I used to never see any girls come.
Well, you know, and I can't tell you where I heard this, but, and I might have said this to you before, but the fastest growing segment of the population to own guns right now in this country are African American women.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, that'll play That'll play well into the episode. We've got an episode planned on about women and firearms, so... Or women in the firearms industry.
Yeah, females and
firearms. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no, I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with women owning a gun. I'm not a misogynist.
I encourage everybody to, if they want to own a firearm, to try it. You know, I think it's a great idea.
Absolutely.
So, the whole model is about building community. We've got day in, day out, we have customers come in and say they just want to volunteer and be in the shop. They just want to work with us and learn what we do, learn how we work. You know, learn about firearms more, and it blows my mind. It just blows my mind. It really does.
Yeah, me too. People are like, we had the one gentleman come in, and he's like, this could be a, you know, my career. And they're like, what? Like, wait a minute, what? And it's like, all right, let me tell you. Are you sure? Do you know what you're getting yourself into?
Sure.
Well, let me tell you,
Bennett and Chris, those guys, you know, were employee or customers turned employees, you know.
Yeah.
Dr. Gorka, you know, the VP of research and development, you know, he was a customer turned employee.
We got
Carl.
Gorka is an employee.
Gorka's got he's a badge toting gun dude.
No way. That's amazing.
Ooh, well, we got guys, gun dude shooting team as well.
That's true. All right, well,
be for another day, though, guys. I want to thank Carl Stroud for joining us today on the Gun Dude Radio.
Right on, Groovy.
All right. Jenna,
Groovy.
Josh, thanks for hanging out today. Again, we are the Gun Dude Radio on Nation First. We're sponsored by the Gun Dude. Check us out and listen to the show on nationfirst.us and on Twitter. Follow Nation First on @GI_Nation. You can also keep a close eye on everything Gun Dude at the Gun Dude and online at thegundude.com. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for listening, guys. Stay Bye-bye. Groovy.
Stay frosty.
This has been the Gun Dude Show, brought to you by NationFirst.us, sponsored by the Gun Dude. If you love guns and coffee, this show's for you. A community of gun-toting, spaghetti-eating, defensive-minded dudes with knowledge about firearms and how to use them.
You're still here? It's over. Go home.
Go. No.